Chapter 6. Getting Closer to Joe. We listened at every window. Nothing. We went inside and checked everywhere. Nothing was stolen. Not even Roscoe's police gun. Then, I noticed that the floor was dirty where people walked in from the rain. I could see 8 shoes. 4 people going from the front door to the living room, and then into the bedroom. They came for us in the night. They wanted to kill us like they killed Morrison and his wife. Neither of us spoke.
Were they after you or me? Or both of us?
Roscoe asked after a while. Both of us, I said. They think that Hubble spoke to me in jail, and I've told you. Roscoe started crying. I held her in my arms. It's going to take more than 4 country boys to get me, I told her. I wanted to make her feel safe. I needed to be strong. Stay with me, and you'll be okay, I said. She tried a brave smile.
Promise?
She said. Sure, I said. Now, we must get out of here. Get a bag ready and go to work as normal. They're not going to kill us at the station. And don't be on your own with Mayor Teal. Stay near Finley, Baker, or Stevenson, okay? I drove Roscoe to work in the Bentley. We passed a truck with Kleiner Foundation on the side. What's the Kleiner Foundation? I asked Roscoe.
Kleiner is a big man around here, she said. He arrived 5 years ago. He's rich, and he has a big factory in Venezuela. The town sold him land for his warehouses, and he gave the town money for a program for roads, gardens, the library, and small businesses. He runs the program out of Mayor Teal's office.
Teal, I said. So Kleiner may be in the scam too. Roscoe looked worried. Can you get me a gun? I asked her.
Yes, when Teal's not there, she said.
Finley was waiting for us outside of the station. Did Washington tell you what Joe was doing here? I asked him.
No, but I learned that he started work on something very big a year ago. I spoke to a woman at the Treasury called Molly Beth Gordon. Have you heard that name? It sounds like she and Joe were close.
No, I said. I felt sad that I knew so little about my brother.
She's agreed to speak to you because you're Joe's brother. Can you call her at 1:30?
Finley gave me the number. Sure, I said. So, Joe and Hubble both worked with money. Joe worked for the Treasury, and Hubble worked for a bank. When Joe came to Margrave on Thursday, maybe he flew to Atlanta. Maybe he got a hotel room, rented a car, and drove it to the warehouse. If we can find the car, there might be something helpful in it.
I'll check with the traffic police, said Finley. And, Roscoe, can you get the arrest report on Sherman Stoller? Let's find an address for him.
I'm going to Hubble's bank, I said. I'll be back by 1:30 to call Molly Beth Gordon. I drove straight to Atlanta and found Sunrise International Bank. Inside, I asked for Paul Hubble. The woman on the desk sent me to the 17th floor. A man in a suit met me.
Mr. Hubble doesn't work here anymore,
he said. He finished 18 months ago. He did nothing wrong. We just closed part of the business. The man continued. We didn't need him any longer. He explained to me how Hubble's job was to get hold of dollar bills. But paper money became harder to find because people weren't using it much. Do you know where he's working now? I asked. No, but he's not in banking. I haven't heard his name for a long time, the man said. I thanked him and left. So, Hubble stopped being a banker more than a year ago. When I got back to Margrave, it was lunchtime, and the station was quiet. I went into the interview room and called Molly Beth Gordon.
You sound so like Joe, she said, starting to cry.
But I couldn't talk to her for long. Someone might be listening. What was Joe doing in Margrave? I asked her.
He was investigating something. I don't know what. I only know that it was about counterfeit money.
Could they be making counterfeit money in Georgia? I asked.
No, it doesn't happen here. Joe stopped it, she said. No one prints counterfeit money in the U.S. anymore. They can't get the printing right or get the right paper because of Joe's work. The counterfeits are printed abroad, but it's impossible to get the right paper anywhere now.
So, why was Joe down here? I really need to know. Is there anything you can do to help?
I can look at his computer, said Molly. I know his password. Call me again in a day or two.
When I finished the call, I thought about my brother. Molly was obviously very close to him. He even told her his computer password. And I knew nothing about him. Roscoe came into the interview room.
Teal's here, but he's got a Kleiner Foundation meeting soon, and I've got something on Sherman Stoller. He was a truck driver. He was stopped by the police 2 years ago in Florida because the police thought that he was drinking. They looked in the truck, but only found 20 new air conditioners in boxes. Stoller lived in Atlanta. I have the address.
We went out to the office area. Finley was finishing a phone call. The traffic police found a burned car near the Cloverleaf, he told us. Let's take a look. We found the car lying on its roof. There wasn't much left to see after the fire, but maybe it was Joe's. It was in the right place, near the warehouses. I got down on the ground and looked for the number on the car. I cleaned the number with my finger and called it out to Roscoe.
I'll check it as soon as I can, she said.
There was an expensive white Cadillac parked outside of the station when we got back. Inside, everyone was standing around an old, white-haired guy in a suit. I guessed that this was Mayor Teal. He wanted to speak to Finley in the interview room. Give me the gun while Teal is busy, I said quietly to Roscoe when they were gone. She unlocked a closet and took out a gun. I took it from her, went straight outside to the Bentley, and put it under a seat. I saw a brown Buick stopping 100 yards away with 2 dark-haired men in it. I knew that car. It was in Beckman Drive yesterday. The men sat there watching me.
I saw Teal come out of the police station behind me and walk away. Then I got out of the Bentley and went back inside. There are two guys outside in a brown Buick, I told Finley. I saw them yesterday, too. Could they be Picard's men? No, Finley said, shaking his head. Roscoe came over.
The burned car was rented. Picard might be able to discover more for us.
I felt like I was getting closer to Joe at last.
Great work, Roscoe, I said. I'll see you later.
I'm going for a drive in the country. When I went out to the Bentley, the brown Buick was still there. I drove north toward Warburton, and when I checked in the mirror, the Buick was following me.